Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cup. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Blech.
What's up with it, John? Man, don't change that down. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down.
Yeah, yeah, this is Cassidy the Hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the
cuff, baby. What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw. And you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio. And I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it ain't, what it do. It's Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday nights. West West, y'all.
Yeah, yeah, boy. Episode 499 going down tonight for exclusive Monday Night Raw episode. Off the Cuff Radio. I'm your host, King Eric, the Media Assassin. And this show is sponsored by Buddy Boy Entertainment, Screwball Radio, Jesse's Boutique, Core Financial, Fleetwood and the Cotton Pickers, all these brands showing us love, and we showing love back. I got T-Match with the Facts in the building.
What it do, y'all. Y'all know what it is. No T-Tip in the building. Shout out to my co-host, the artist, and man, Lady Chinchilla, so illa, we alive and direct. It is the main event for Monday night. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very, very, very special guest. As y'all know, in our distinguished history of Off the Cuff Radio, we've had photographers, we've had chefs, we've had rappers, we've had actors, actresses, fashion designers, and now we can add a hustler, you know, model to the fold in terms of our great achievements. This young lady here gracing us, guesting tonight, is the epitome of hustle, being that brown sugar beauty bombshell who is making waves in terms of her modeling game, showing all types of game in the lane of how to do her thing. Hailing from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, she is definitely a force to be reckoned with, and she wants to really let y'all know how serious she is in terms of her ambition that is so awesome. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Barbie Monroe is in the building. What it do, boo? How you?
Hey, how y'all doing? Thank y'all for having me again. Like, I'm glad to be back. I had so much fun the last time. I'm glad to be here. Happy Memorial Day to everybody.
Definitely.
Thank
you. Know, we had a bit of we had technical difficulty the last time, but, you know, we're like, you know, King said, you know, we got it up and running like marathons, so we ready to sprint it.
Yeah, the show must go on.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, for those, you know, out there, you know, obviously your credentials are incredible in terms of what you do. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself, you know, how you got started, you know, what inspired you.
Well, what pretty much inspired me was when I was growing up, just seeing the girls, you know, in the videos and stuff like that, and just pretty much how they were respected and how they were put on a certain level. And that is something that I've always wanted to do since I was a little girl. I'm like, I want to be in a video and, you know, use that as a stepping stone to get up in Hollywood and get into acting and things like that. So that is pretty much was my motivation of the reason why I started to model and stuff like that. And I also modeled while I was a dancer. You know, when I was dancing, I used that. I'm like, if I can dance, I can model. You know, so I've been pretty much doing all of this since I was 18. So that's what pretty much inspired me, because I've seen, you know, all of the girls in videos back in the 2000s when I was, you know, when I had no business watching no damn music videos. But that's something that I've always wanted to be. And it kind of saddens me a little bit how much now it's kind of harder for us to pretty much make it as video vixens and stuff like that now in this day and age. And this, we got to work 10 times harder. And my goal is to pretty much bring back that sex appeal, that poise, that grace that the video models of yesteryear had. And it's just like now it seems like it's kind of hard to get it. It's not hard, but it's just like you just got to do so much in order to get put on. And it's just, or you got to look a certain way to, you know, to even get noticed and be, to put yourself in those certain circles. And I just want to, you know, just prove to the masses like I'm just as better, just as sexy, just as classy as the next woman you're willing to put on a pedestal because you feel like they're more palatable.
Right.
And
now,
what are some of like the requirements have you heard that they want women to have? Like they want to enhance breasts, they want the BBLs, like what are some of the requirements that they
That's honestly, when I look at some of these, and I'm not trying, when I look at some of these IG models, it's to the point to where all of them look alike at this point. They all look alike. They all have the boob job. They have the BBL. They have this. They have that. They all look alike. Nothing. It can't, like, you really can't tell half of them apart. And that's the reason why I'm like, that's what make me different than some. I'm not painting all of us with one brush, but that's what makes me different from some of the IG models that people push and people follow and flock to. And don't get me wrong, I give credit when it's due. They're beautiful. I'm beautiful. But, like, I just feel like me being, you know, the all-natural, typical, round-the-way girl, I have clout in my own right. You know? And yep. I have my own lane. But what I will not do is, I'm not going to sit up there and beg and plead and get down on my knees to sit at nobody else's table. I'd rather create my own table. Because we're in that time period now where we can create our own tables. It's good to, but you don't want to burn bridges and you don't want to piss off the wrong people either. Because, and especially when you're just starting out, because your career can end before it starts. It's okay to, you know, rub elbows with people and things like that, but just don't make yourself seem desperate for a seat at the table. Because people who are in the industry, they can read that from a mile away.
Yeah. And one thing about it, when we look at it, Barbie, from how the game was, you know, as you said, you know, in terms of bringing back those days of yesteryear in terms of video vixens, you know, when you got guys like, of course, Little X, Hype Williams, all those big video directors from back in the day, there was a synergy that had to do with big video productions. We all, you know, King, myself, you, we all came in that era of really watching hip-hop videos become an art form. We saw girls like Tayo Felony, you know, Gloria Velez, Corinne Stephens, a.k.a. Superhead, you know, like I said, Buffy the Body, you know, just so many, you know, they really, really, really were beginning to become celebrities. And, of course, you know, when you have the magazines, you know, of course, XXL, when they do the used to do the Eye Candy, even Source Magazine would feature a couple of them. The Dime Pieces, of course, shout out to John Blassingame, you know, founder, you know, Word Up Magazine and so many other publications, including Black Men Illustrated, where he would feature women of color, you know. So
yeah.
It was really like an era where you saw, you know, a lot of these women who were doing the modeling thing in terms of, you know, getting out there. You know, the magazines were always part of that as well. It's like everybody was working together in terms of, this is a different time for those out there who are a little younger, where when you saw videos, it's like a different time in the media.
Yeah, half of these people, half of these kids now in this generation wasn't even born.
Right. And that's the issue that we got to get on.
Kids that were adults that are in their 20s now, early 20s coming up, half of them, they were either babies, or they were either too young to remember, or they wasn't even born.
Right. And while, you know, there's always been that element of cosmetic surgery, you know, that's been around since cosmetic surgery really was a thing, you know, since in the late 70s when it really began to really take off. That's always been a thing in terms of course, breast augmentation. Shout out to Nip Tuck with, you know, Julian McMahon and Dylan Walsh. The show used to come on FX because I learned a lot about plastic surgery in those 7 seasons of watching it.
It was a really good show.
Yes, it was. Twisted as fuck, but yeah. but when you look at the standards, and King, you know, me and my brother, we talk on air, we talked off air about how the game has changed in terms of, like you said, about the because this was a time back 20, 25 years ago where there was at the most maybe boob jobs, but now it's become a whole smorgasbord of cosmetic surgery. You know, it's like black women are not necessarily being embraced or celebrated for being naturally curvy and voluptuous, you know, and bodacious, you know. And even then, we've seen situations also where the situation has gotten so dire where some women have gone to places like Mexico or Brazil to try to get it at a cheaper rate, but they've also lost their lives.
Yeah,
you as a black woman.
And the thing is, me, I'm gung ho for plastic.
Go ahead, please.
Okay, I'm gung ho for plastic surgery and stuff like that. I'm gung ho for it, but it's just like, it's not, like, the only way I would get plastic surgery is unless I have a kid. And I will get my boobs done, like, after I have a kid and whatever. But other than that, like, it's nothing wrong with my body. I have also been catching a lot of flack because I have had people who think my boobs are real and think I'm lying. Like, I don't have a boob job. I'm like, maybe just because they're as big as they are, they don't sag. Like, not every woman who have natural big boobs sag.
That's true.
And I have gotten
a lot
of flack for that because a lot of people think I'm lying about thinking I have a boob job. Like, no, my boobs are real.
Yeah, and pretty much, Barbie, who do you think is responsible for kind of contorting the whole standard of beauty in terms of it? Do you think that there has been a, I'm not going to say conspiracy because that's such a hard and pointed word, but do you think there has been a just kind of like a decision by a lot of the quote-unquote power brokers in the fashion and modeling industry in terms of what they're going to dictate as a standard of beauty that may not necessarily be authentic or applicable?
Yeah, I actually blame the media.
Mm-hmm.
I blame the media, and then I also blame us as a society.
Gotcha.
Because
but
the media has also, not all the media, but some of the media have also pushed that narrative of the quote-unquote European standard of beauty. Like me, I've grew up, don't get me wrong, I've grew up my whole life, you know, being the dark-skinned girl, you know, and I've always been a skinny kid, you know, and I've always gotten picked on because of my because I was dark-skinned. Like, I've always, and I'm just going to be open and honest about that. I have gotten picked on because of that. And when, you know, at the time period I grew up, when I seen the videos and stuff like that, like, it was rare I've seen a woman that looks like me that I can relate to as a love interest in some of these music videos. I'm just going to be completely honest. Not trying to ruffle no feathers, but I'm just being honest. And it didn't help when I was in middle school and high school and stuff like that. I have had friends, you know, I have had friends that was light skinned or whatever. And it would be boys at my school that would just hand them party flyers and just sit up there and look at me like, oh, you can't go. Like,
yeah.
And I felt, or they all, I've always was considered ugly. But I have had, you know, and then these same guys that have put me through this in high school, now that I'm older, now it's been 2011 was what, 11 years ago? It's been 11 years since I've been out of high school. Now that I'm blowing up, some of them want to slide in my DMs and want to talk to me and stuff like that. And it's just like, no, I wasn't checking for you in high school, and I won't be checking for you. You wasn't checking for me in high school. What make you think I'm going to check for you now?
Yeah, they cast the same clothes on
you. High day all on you. You know what I mean? That's the old Mike Jones
Yeah.
Book.
Yeah,
pretty
just,
much.
Like,
I actually posted that on my Instagram as well. Like, I did like a reel of, you know, the pictures of when I was a kid to when I was a teenager to now, and I played that in the background. It was pretty dope. But it's a story of my. That song was a story of is a story of my life now.
And you know,
it really is.
And one thing about it, Barbie. Okay, go ahead, King. Go ahead.
I was going to ask you too. So, when it comes to that time period where you was like, you broke down those barriers, looked in the mirror, you was like, okay, I'm the flyest thing walking out here. Like, what was that confidence barrier that you had to break?
That confidence barrier didn't come until I was 17, 18. Until I got out of high school, that's when that confidence barrier grew, because that's when I started dancing. And that was another reason why I started dancing, because it helped me build confidence. It helped me be like, you know, I am that girl. Fuck whatever. I can cuss on here, right?
So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You're off the cup.
I was like, I was just thinking, like, fuck what everybody else thinks. Because I'm like, what they eat don't make me shit. So I'm like, that's when my confidence grew, was when I started dancing. Because I didn't have any confidence in high school, you know. So I've always, you know, I was a cheerleader and all that. But still, like, I still didn't have that confidence.
And one thing about
I didn't get that confidence until I got out of high school.
Yeah, one thing about it, Barbie, what you were saying is true, because colorism is real in the black community, and that is one thing.
It is,
and
it's something,
you know,
a lot of people, I feel like, is scared to talk about. And it's a conversation that we need to have. It really is. It's a conversation that needs to be had.
When you think about
because
days,
this has been
when,
a problem
yeah.
for years,
It has. I mean, when you look at School Days when Spike Lee did it in 1987, 88, when that movie came out.
I love that movie.
Yeah. I mean, yo.
I was just actually about to bring that movie up. Classic.
Yeah.
But just in that movie itself showed that. And it's been a problem for years. And a lot of people act like they're scared to have a conversation about it. It's like if you got a platform, if you have a platform and if you want to speak on something that's a problem in your community, I don't see nothing wrong with it. Because it's like when you do have a platform and when you don't, then everybody like, oh, you got a big platform, you should speak up on this. Like, which one is it? But it is,
you know,
a conversation that needs to be had.
I think a part of it, what it is, though, is they're afraid that they're going to catch a lot of backlash off of it because you got to admit to it. Like, you practice colorism, even though they don't want to admit it. They do practice just by how they move and how they promote certain women over a certain type of women.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't want
and don't get me wrong, like, we're all beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, black is beautiful, period. Like, we all beautiful. And I'm not trying to make it a, everybody's beautiful. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah, and when we look at it, you know, it's about, when we look at these conversations that are out there that we need to have more, you know. The problem is you know, conversations can create controversy, which is a strong opinion, but it's also about you can't keep a lid on something that's already been out the jar. You know, the fact of the matter is we have real issues in terms of how black people perceive each other, in terms of complexion, in terms of education. The elements are so deep that we can't escape from because they've been part of us for so long in terms of the have and the have-nots. And unfortunately, there's been, you know, the Willie Lynch letter is always a issue of controversy as to as or not he really existed. We do know the letter exists. The question is, did he really exist? But he said one of the tenets in the letter was, make them not like each other. If you can separate them, then you can control them. And
yeah.
You know, when we look at this from a context today, King and Barbie, we're looking at from a level of how there is still a lot of disconnect in terms of understanding that not only in society do we share the same struggle for equality and the fight for, you know, what's right and justice, but it's also in terms of the entertainment field about getting our foot up through the door. When you look at your dancing days, what was it like when you got in and in terms of really having to understand, because we're going to get into this deeper, what did you start to understand in terms of, because keeping it real on off the cuff, we can only do it how we do it. It's about whether, and we're not saying you do this or want to do this. We already did this in the pre-interview about where you're at with it, and porn is not part of that. So we want to give that disclaimer right away. That is not what you're shooting for. But when you are looking at dancing and all of that, that is a form of entertainment that is selling a fantasy. And I've been a few nights in a strip club, so I know what goes on. What did you learn from getting into it and how the game operated in terms of your patrons, getting your tips, your regulars, all this, that, and the other? We got plenty of time. Go ahead.
What I've actually learned about it is pretty much be yourself. Be yourself. Mm-hmm. Have fun. That is what I've learned. And don't get me wrong, you could deal with some rude, disrespectful customers that would be disrespectful as hell. But I've learned, have fun, make your money, and be yourself. That is what I've learned. Mm-hmm. And then also, I've learned that also when it comes to entertainment, it also has a dark side. That's
right.
What I've learned. It's a young woman's game. I've also learned that,
mm-hmm,
as well. Because,
right,
when you also, you know, build your clientele, you keep them coming back for more. And I've actually, when it came to my clientele, I actually ended up building friendships with the men that was my clientele. And we're still friends till this day, you know. And I helped them get through a lot of stuff, like going through a divorce or, you know, losing a house or getting married. Like, I have helped them through a lot of things. Because, like, it's not all about just sitting up there showing your boobs and, hey, give me money. It's not like that. It's all about just being yourself and having fun. And what I've noticed from when I started compared to some of these new girls now that's up and coming that kind of make me cringe and make me kind of grit my teeth is the entitlement of these new girls. They come up in this business thinking that they know the business, thinking that they know the game and they don't know shit. And then sit up there, want to whine and complain. And then some of them are just the most lazy. I ain't never sat up there and seen a lazy stripper. How you a stripper and you lazy?
Yo, just like we
they expect
on,
the money to come to them or just
the,
because they hot,
show.
Here you go some money. Like, no, it's not going to, like, ain't no man finna just up and give you his wallet. You're going to have to work for it. And if you're not willing to work for it, why are you here? And then some of these new girls, they sit up there and complain about at the end of the night why they didn't make no money. It's a club full of people in here. It shouldn't, if you didn't make any money, it's your own fault. Get off your phone, get off your fucking ass, and go out there and get it.
It's a job.
And if you're not willing to do that, you're in the wrong profession. You need to go work at Walmart.
Yo, you gotta
you
go
know,
all like if from Players Club, cause we talked about that on the unreleased show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's great King brought that up. Yeah. And it's great King brought
but
that
yeah,
up.
But, yeah, some of these new
we,
age girls that's up and coming, they are very entitled. They think somebody, a guy's supposed to give them something. And that's not, no, you're going to have to work for it. No one is going to give you anything.
Yeah,
you
got
to go out there, mingle, work the room. If you're not willing to do that, why are you here?
Yeah, and you know, y'all, because it goes back to, you know, the whole social media thing now, because back in the day, you know, as we talked, the magazines and everything, that was really how a lot of these girls were getting out there, you know, because, you know, social media, there wasn't no social media 20 years ago.
No.
I mean, if you count Black Planet, which started in 1999, but Black Planet was like the nascent phases. Of course, MySpace would come after that. Facebook would come after that. Twitter would come in the kind of after Facebook. So it was a different game because the level of access people had to you and how you interacted with those people were different because back in the day, the magazines and the videos were the only way you were really going to get known. And even then, it was kind of a mystery about it because you were not easily accessible. And now what we have, and God, King be cracking me up with some of his fucking posts. I mean, you know,
he do
like,
too. He be having me laughing.
Yeah, you know, because but my bro be speaking the truth about it in terms of how a lot of these women get out there. Because once again, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're gonna get deep. This is gonna get even X-rated in some areas. But but we're gonna keep it. We're going to keep it brick, like going through a window. It's going to be a pain for some people. When you look at a lot of these girls now, it's really nothing more than they're looking at it, social media is a shortcut. We got to get deeper into this, too, the dangerous side of not only the dancing, but the hoeing behind it. And we're all adults here. We can speak openly about this.
Mm-hmm.
What do women have to understand about tricking, trying to get that side money as opposed to keeping it square, you know, doing your shift at your job, you know, and going home when you're dancing. Players Club, obviously, that scene with Ebony, One thing about Ice Cube, that was a hell of a movie. Shout out to Uncle Q for that, because that was a movie that really, really, really took it to that level of exploring strip clubs from a black experience.
Yes. Like, we had showgirls and all of that, but I'm like, that's a whole nother show. But, like, honestly, it showed the harsh realities. Like, that movie actually showed the harsh realities. And it also showed that it could be a light at the end of the tunnel as well. So I actually how to wait. He showed all of the different spectrums of the industry. You know, it has its dark times, but it also has the light at the end of the tunnel as well. And I'm like, it's a lot of us that see us in those characters where, you know, that's pretty much our day to day.
Right.
It really is. And I think he did a good job with the making it as authentic and as real as possible. And not sit up there and, you know, turn it. I seen that movie Hustlers. I ain't even gonna get up on that because I'm like, I'm not trying to. But that wasn't a.
It wasn't realistic.
It wasn't realistic at all. Like, I think Players Club was more realistic than that movie. I'm like, it was more of a comedy to me, you know, but it was very authentic.
Yeah. When
because
we look
it
at
it, had
y'all.
A lot in it. It had sex, it had drugs, it had dancing, it had rape.
The fights.
Like, it had a whole lot
all
in one. Stalkers.
Yeah.
People coming in shooting up the club. It had it on. And I was here for it.
Yeah, we're going to get into the part about stalkers, too. Yeah. But when you think about it, I got to throw this in because this was June, I believe, 1998 when that movie, I'm out here in Hampton Roads, Virginia. This was midday, and when that movie opened, the theater was packed, literally. Like, this is 12 in the afternoon, and the theater was packed, you know. And, I mean, the movie hit like a bomb from when it first, and it was a packed house, literally. When you look at all the elements of it, because women, I think the one thing about it is that women have to understand that this is something, like you said, Barbie, you have to have an end game behind it. And a lot of women are thinking that this is fast money, that they're just tricking. But there's a lot of elements to it that you have to understand in terms of,
and
like
you
said.
And you have to have an end game. You really do. Mm-hmm. You have to. I'm like, that was the motive of the story behind Players Club. It was the motive.
Right.
That was the whole motive of that story is like, okay, she did it to pay her way through school. She was a single mom. And then you also had Ebony that jumped head first into the lifestyle and was like, oh, this is fast money. And then you had Ronnie with her predatory instinct, taking her under her wing. Her and Tricks on some predatory type shit. It gave me, like, honestly, Ronnie's character gave me female pimp vibes in that movie.
And it's out
it gave
there.
Me female
it's
pimp
there.
Vibes. That's what it gave me.
Tell it. I mean,
because don't
there.
Get me wrong. Like, a lot of people think a pimp is just a dude in a bright suit. No. Honestly, it's some female pimps in a club that are dancers as well. They might not be with a man, but they trying to create their own stable and try to turn
and they
you
try,
out.
Exactly. Turn the girls out because it's like anything. When they see vulnerability, they go into it. Now, Barbie, you're from Milwaukee, and a lot of people may know this, and a lot of people may not know this. When you talk about pimping, You're from where the players' ball is held.
My town's out there.
Yeah, our city is known for the harbor of pimping. Pimping. Like, we got, man, here is this the birthplace of pimping.
Yeah, I mean, look, shout out to Pimpin' Ken, Gorgeous Dre, of course, the godfather of all, Bishop Don Magic Juan, Big Lex, Mr. White Folks. You know, I'm naming everybody from,
Pimp
Snooki, down.
Free him.
Yeah. I mean,
actually, all Pimp Snooki need to stay in here. That nigga was ill, but keep it pimping from cell block C.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, a lot of people don't know that. You know, matter of fact, you know, I'm, of course, a rapper, Cool Cool Cow. You know, my project, I think he was from Milwaukee, I believe.
Yeah, Cool Cow from here.
Yeah, you know, so it's like, you know.
It's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Oh, but a lot of people sit up there, don't give us a lot of flack. A lot of people try to shit on us and, oh, ain't nobody checking for Milwaukee. Yes, they is now that the Bucks last year won a NBA championship in 50 years.
Yeah.
When the finals was here last year, everybody and their mama, stars and celebrities and all, was here when the finals went on last year.
What was it like growing up in Milwaukee? What was it like?
It was pretty cool growing up here. You know, we got more bars than churches. But it was pretty, we have our good sides of the city, we have our bad sides, and even in the hood. So even in the hood, like, the hood is not always bad. Like, I on the north side, because that's pretty much our area, on the north side, I had it was very entertaining. But it was nice growing up here. It really was. It was really nice. We have Summerfest every summer and stuff like that. So it's a lot of things to do here in Milwaukee. And it's a lot of creative people here. Like, we have a really big, but we're pretty much known for sports, and we're known more so for UFC fighting. That's another thing we know for. A lot of UFC fighters came up out of Milwaukee, too.
Man, look, it's more, look, Wisconsin is more than the Packers, and Milwaukee is more than the Brewers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and more than the Bucks. Like, we have a lot of stuff in store here. And a lot of people is actually moving here. We have had a lot of people move here, and this is actually... Our city is pretty much about to be a really big tourist attraction.
Yeah, man.
Like,
of course
they're turning this city into a really big tourist attraction, and Milwaukee now is on a lot of people's radar because we're right by Chicago.
Yeah. But you know, we got a shout-out from the neighborhood showing love to your city, man. I mean, of course, we got a shout-out Metcalf, Triangle, Halyer. You know, North Division, Mitchell Park, you know, you know, we got a shout out a few of them. Now, one thing about it, in terms of advancement, Bobby, when you're looking at the clientele of it, when you look at certain clubs, like, of course, some, like when you mentioned, of course, Magic City in Atlanta, that's like of a legendary stature by itself. I mean, the stories King and myself have heard over the years of women that have literally gone to school, bought a car, bought a house. You know, I mean, what is it in terms of when you're dancing, when you're really making, like, because a lot of women do tour. Shout out Dallas Abadi, a.k.a. DC Dallas, one of the illest dancers I've ever seen do it with her stage routine. What is it like in terms of noticing where the money is in terms of when, you know, you hit other clubs and the clientele there? Like, when you may hit a L.A. or Atlanta or New York or Houston or just wherever in terms of where the big ballers are at.
Well, I pretty much, what I do is I sit back, I observe, I Google, and I pretty much go where the money blows. Like, if it's a big event in a certain town that weekend, I was there. Like, whatever, if it was Super Bowl, All-Star, I was there. And I was finding the best club. I was finding the best club to go to that was near the venue that, you know, if the where the Super Bowl was or, you know, All-Star weekend, like by the stadium, I will find the venue. I'll find a strip club that was near that venue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and that was the club to go to. Or I will find, you know, clubs where a lot of people, a lot of big ballers, you know, patronize. Like, I did not work, I didn't do rinky-dink clubs. I did upscale, high-end clubs only.
No hole in the wall.
Like, you wouldn't see me in no rinky-dink club.
Now, what are the rules in terms of women? Because shout-out to a few of the chicks that I know, you know, who dance. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, it's one of those things where there are rules in terms of the house, in terms of like the tip out, in terms of, you know, all of that. What are the rules in terms of for a lot of women going in, like especially when you're not a regular feature, not a regular dancer at the spot, and you are talking to the manager? What are the what's the procedure in terms of when you actually go to different spots to go in that night? Because we know bitches can be territorial about it in terms of where, you know, other chicks showing up for their shit in another spot. Tell us about that.
Well, you pretty much gonna to each his own, because I'm like, I haven't, like, when I started dancing, I had to pay tip out and stuff like that. But when I started featuring, I didn't have to. Like, okay, I was getting paid to show up. But, like, when you go to different clubs, some clubs work differently. Some will let you pay tip out at the end of the night. Some of them will pay, will make you pay once you walk into the door. And if it's a busy night, the tip out can go higher. The house fee can go higher. But when it comes to house fee, you're pretty much renting the stage.
Understood.
It's no different than if you're a tattoo artist or a hairstylist paying booth rent. That's pretty much what the house fee is. Tip out is pretty much you tipping your DJ, you're tipping a bouncer, you're tipping the bartenders.
Mm-hmm.
Because they did everything for you that whole night. It's only right to tip them.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know.
We can't have this show without me shouting out my man DJ Joe Pro out of Norfolk, one of the living legends in terms of the strip club DJs in this area. Great guy. Just one of my folks, family.
I wouldn't mind, actually, because I was kind of thinking about finding a city and finding a club in a city where I wouldn't mind, you know, making an appearance and featuring down there. You know, it's been a while since I danced, but that's something I wouldn't mind doing, you know, just making an appearance and stuff like that.
Word. I can holler at Joe. We'll talk off air about that, and we'll see what we can put together with that. So we'll get together off air about that. One thing that King and myself were really, really impressed with is your savvy and your focus in terms of really understanding the nuance of the game, because while you're about your money, you are not consumed by it, and you didn't get caught up in all of the tricking elements of it, because a lot of chicks really think that is something to play with, and I'm like, you know, like we saw in Players Club, that dude that ended up stalking Diamond. You know, the fact is that, you know, while, you know, like I said, you know, we are.
And then the whole thing that happened with Ebony and Junior.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, that fan lived rent free in my head. Ebony got raped at Junior party tonight, and you left it there, didn't you? That lived rent free in my head for some reason.
That was a pop. That was a pop.
That was
one of the
best fights ever.
Huh?
Yeah. That was
ever. It was so realistic.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, that shit hit hard because, you know, I was a young nigga, you know, when I seen it, you know. So this is before I really started hanging out in the strip clubs, you know, before I was in there. So it's like, but when, you know, but even that was a very visceral sequence because if you were in there at that time in terms of being in there, especially being a woman, you understand the emotions that were going through them at the time in terms of it, because one thing about it is we love women. We are absolutely smitten with our ladies, you know. We think all women are beautiful. We just love black women, you know, specifically. But one thing about it is that, but that was something that hit different because you saw what was going on in terms of the dangers. And for any woman out there, I don't care what your color is, I tell any woman, you got to be careful because some of these men out here, you know, they don't have themselves wrapped too tight. You know, King and myself, we're happily heterosexual men that love women, and we can appreciate the beauty and the entertainment, but we know where the separation is, and we do not get caught up in it. And as we have seen, a lot of men cannot make that separation, that distinction of reality and fantasy, and then they take it over the top. What are some of the procedures that you all take at the club in terms of if a patron gets rowdy, getting a little too, in the words of the late, great Charlie Murphy and the Rick James skit, you know, my man's getting a bit too familiar, you know, and about the protocols of, you know, when the club is over and how y'all maintain safety?
Well, what we pretty much do is we have bouncers. So if a crowd getting way too rowdy, the bouncers will regulate that and tell them, like, the club is closed. It's time for you guys to leave. So they will regulate that quick, fast, and in a hurry if a crowd is getting too rowdy or if somebody is too drunk, want to kick up mess and want to start stuff. They're going to put you out. They going to warn you the first time if they got to do it. And after that, it won't be no first time. The second time, you got to go.
Right, right, right. Yeah. And those type of situations, and I've seen it, you know, I can't speak for King if he's been a few of the strip clubs, and if he don't want to incriminate himself, that's absolutely fine. But, you know, but you see sometimes with certain individuals where they get a little bit, alcohol and hormones are a dangerous cocktail. It's very combustible. I'm all about everybody going to the party, having a good time, but you are going to have those individuals that really, 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 they get out of control with it. And, you know, you even taking it further kind of in another direction, you kind of see how they might deal with women in general if they're getting that wild in the club. Because it makes you want to.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. No, but yeah, it can get pretty rowdy, and some guys they just do entirely the most, and it's just like, yeah, you gotta go.
Now, in terms of it, when you see some of the clientele, how can you, you know, what's how you see some of those dudes like? How can you kind of tell who has the money in terms of how do y'all pretty much kind of just watch the patrons? You know, from that quiet dude that's got like maybe $30,000 in his bank that he's spending to the dude that with the bad jewelry on with the fake diamonds that look like sea glass, trying to basically blow his little re-up money out there, trying to look like he a baller, but more he stretched himself like broken dental floss.
A baller, huh?
Well, me, I give everybody a chance. You know, I give everybody a chance. I don't judge a book by its cover when it comes, because honestly, when I was in the club, hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, I'm like, when I was in the club, I worked at a club up north, and that's what we call Northern Wisconsin here up north. And it was a guy, you know, he was a farmer and stuff like that. He just got off the farm. And I swear, this man smelled so bad, but
like manure
he
and everything.
Made my night. He spent so much money. I walked out of there with a lot of money off that one guy, even though he smelled bad. But I'm like, I still was able to hold in the smell, even though he was, you know, because he was spending money and he was a really nice guy. He was just getting off work and, you know, and stuff like that. So me, I really don't judge a book by its cover, because honestly, here in the Midwest, a lot of us, we don't wear our wealth on our clothes.
Mm-hmm.
We don't. Like, the most people that's looking like money, and 9 times they was the brokest ones.
Yeah.
But the ones that's quiet and reserved and, you know, just with a nice t-shirt and some jeans, they will be the ones with the biggest bankroll. Like, we don't wear our wealth on our clothes. Like me, I have some designer pieces and stuff like that, and designer shoes and stuff, but I only wear them on special occasions. You know, I'm not about to sit up there and, you know, do a video, be all Givenchy down when I'm just sitting in the house. Like, no, I save my Givenchy and my Gucci for a special occasion.
Yeah.
Because they're timeless pieces, and I have a few pairs of Louboutin shoes and red bottoms and stuff like that, but I only wear those on special occasions.
Yeah, and that's something where the thing is, there's nothing wrong with it. We've always said, in terms of the game, you know, there's nothing wrong with. You know, because obviously, you know, because we're not going to get into your pockets and, like, in terms of what you, the biggest bag you walked out with for one night. But, but it's like, obviously, you know, for you to buy the real shit, then you made some money. I'm thinking about when Dave Chappelle was doing his Puff Daddy impression on the show. He's like,
huh?
Real shit. You know, so it's like, you can afford certain luxuries, and that's cool. But, you know, the thing is about making the money, but also saving it as well as spending.
Yeah, but I'm like, will I go broke trying to buy those luxuries? No. I have a mixture of everything. I shop at Fashion Nova. It ain't no shame in my game.
Yeah.
Because,
ain't nothing wrong with thrift stores either. A lot of celebrities.
There's nothing wrong with thrift stores at all. It's nothing wrong. I actually like the idea of thrift stores because I like to look for stuff and find some good stuff. Like, I like feeling like I'm on a treasure hunt when it comes to thrift stores. But I'm like, there's nothing wrong with that. There's a lot of people who wear their wealth. I'm like, I'd rather be inconspicuous. I don't want to necessarily make myself look like a target.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of sharks out here. We got enough wolves around here. We don't want to attract them.
Yeah. You know, and especially in the strip club, because that's one of the places, I mean, you know, King also
Yeah,
hosts
well,
a show
me,
called...
per se, I don't dance anymore. I do burlesque now. So I'm in a burlesque troupe now, so I really don't dance anymore. I'm more so model and stuff like that. But if I'm doing a club appearance or something like that, I will go back into dancing if it was like a club appearance or something like that.
Understood. Wanted to touch back with you on a second, Barbie, about the wealth factor in terms of wearing your wealth, because that's also a situation. King also hosts another show called Screwball Radio. Shout out to Comet and Black Poet, solid QB soldiers. Mm-hmm. And they have the stories about the tunnel in New York. I mean, what it's like.
out in QB and what it was like if you walk around, you know, in terms of if you wearing, like, the truck jewels and how you had to be ready to defend your shit if niggas wanted to take it off you. But the reality is that you can get God anywhere. And the thing is, stick-up kids are always going to look at a situation where they feel it is the most where their target, even if it's a strip club. I mean, we know niggas been robbed out of strip clubs too.
Yeah,
it's DJs
big
can
money
get
exchanges.
Hit. Yeah, it is.
Like, a strip club is like a casino. It's too much money in that place, in places like
right.
strip clubs and casinos. It's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So, big money exchanges. So, that I feel like it's the most dumbest thing to rob, because robbing a strip club is like robbing a casino. You're not going to get away.
Yep.
Because it's way right. too many cameras. So,
yeah,
you ain't getting away. Robbing a strip club, it's like robbing a trying to rob a casino. It's just the most dumbest place you can rob. But
shit, between the owner having a gun and the security having guns, you ain't getting out of there.
Yeah.
Alive.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
look, what,
it's the
what
most
it?
Dumbest thing you can try to rob. Like, no, you ain't.
Now, in terms, what was the procedures y'all had in terms of leaving, in terms of, you know, the security scouring the parking lot and making sure, because, you know, you all, you know, would have y'all back at the end of the night as well as DJ. What were the procedures that y'all had to make sure that you all were safe and everything?
We had to make sure all of the staff, the dancers, all of us, we had to make sure all the club was cleared out. We had to make sure everybody left. We had to make sure the parking lots was empty and all of the customers were gone before we can leave. And we all left out at the same time. So we had to pretty
gotcha.
Much make sure everybody was gone before we left. So, like, we'll call last call 15 minutes before closing time, because that 15
right.
minutes, that will give everybody to be like, we're closed, y'all got to go within them 15 minutes, them 15, 20 minutes. So once the club is cleared out and all the cars and stuff is gone, that's when we leave.
Got you. Yeah.
Exactly. And I've been told that
we're not leaving the same time with customers. And I want that. Clubs where you end up leaving with a customer, you can consider yourself not having a job the next day.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's serious right there.
Like,
bro.
I worked
that's...
at clubs like that where you
Whoa,
end up leaving with a customer, don't even bother going back.
Now, what's the policy in terms of why they're very steadfast on that rule, Barbie? Because I don't think a lot of people really understand the depth of the seriousness. So please explain to us why a lot of club owners are very stringent on that specifically.
Because, like, that can actually that becomes a liability on the club. Because
gotcha.
I'm like, that because if anything was to happen to a dancer when they left with that customer, if anything was to happen to them, that will be the last place that they will saw. That it caused too much unnecessary traffic and unnecessary heat. And it can
Understood.
Actually cause a club's liquor. It can cause a club liquor license.
Yeah.
And it can cost everybody that worked there their jobs over this one. So they pretty much was like, they will pretty much tell that girl, you leave with that customer, don't even bother coming back here. Like,
right.
find somewhere else to work, because you ain't working here.
Yes.
Because a lot of clubs don't want any heat, you know. And I just feel like it's a lot of places, a lot of towns, they try to find a reason to shut a strip club down. because some of these towns, and especially if you're living in a small town and there's a strip club there, a lot of them don't want strip clubs there. So they try to find a reason to shut them down anyway.
Yeah. It's funny because, you know, when we look at it in terms of male-female interaction, in terms of, I mean, sex being involved, in terms of just looking at them, everybody seems to, I mean, it's a natural instinct that we want to see things that appeal to us, but everybody has this big deal about, I'm like, why is everybody making a big deal about something that's pretty much natural, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's something that, and I guess maybe the element of it being monetized in a way that some people think is an act that maybe sexy dancing or whatever or showing sexuality should be in a private confine. My thing is, look,
Honestly, people who are so conservative, they just blow me. Like, conservative to the point to where they're prudes. I'm like, this is 2022. Get with the times.
Yeah.
To each his own.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
You know, and you know, but it's okay, though, because I think a lot of times we live in a society where whether it's hip-hop music, whether it's whatever, now we've seen a lot of strides. It's funny, y'all, because when we look at a lot of the television shows and movies, like, and, you know, King and myself were both big movie buffs. We talk about a lot of the shows from the, in the movies like Porky's or Rambo or some of those other joints. Those would have never flown today.
No, like movies Meatballs and shit, like even the American Pie movies. Like,
night,
them movies,
man,
will not fly today. Like,
yeah, I mean,
if you notice, if you notice, it's not a lot of R-rated movies now, because a lot of R-rated movies don't even make that much money anymore.
Yeah.
Not in theaters.
It's wild.
Like, and even some R-rated movies now are PG-13. That was rated R back then. Now they PG-13. You know, if you notice, it's a lot of, we just live in a sensitive society. I just feel like we're living in a society where people are sensitive about everything, every little thing, but ashamed about nothing.
Mm. Say that again.
You can't
say that
just,
again.
How you gonna be offended about offended by something, but you ashamed of nothing? Like some of these young rappers, like, they get offended over the most little thing, but it's okay to be a fucking dope fiend. Where they do that at? It's okay pop pills and Xanax and all that. Back then when you did that, you was a dope fiend, a junkie.
Tell it.
That's what you were back then. And you kept that. And if you did that, and if that was your prerogative, you kept that shit a secret.
Tell it.
Because you
know what build off that too. I'm gonna tell y'all this too. Is I think what it is with people is that they wanna use the whole street mentality on certain individuals, you know, to flex their muscle. Just like, why they wanna sit there and beat us up for having an opinion? Like, we're journalists, we're DJs. Like, you wanna flex and send the world on us.
And honestly, me, I'm one of those models that's, you know, up front. Like, I'm not trying to ruffle any feathers or burn any bridges, because I am trying to get up in this. I am trying to get in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to take off, too. But I don't want to, you know, mess up my career before it starts. But it's certain things that need to be said and need to be addressed.
That's true. You know, and it's wild because when we look at the movies, when we look at the movies and television today, because we're seeing stuff, nothing against the LGBT or the gay community or whatever. We at Off the Cuff, we love everybody. You know, we acknowledge everybody's rights to live their truth and to live how they want to live. Yeah, you know, but the thing is, it's like some of the stuff we see now. Yeah, you know, with some of the gay themes on television, we would have never saw that 20 years ago. That was, like, unheard of on mainstream TV.
No.
You know, I mean, especially, I mean, but especially how with some of the, even with some of the dramas, like Sons of Anarchy, which was a tremendous show.
I love,
you know,
that
the Shield.
Show.
Yeah, you know, it's like, I mean, we would have, 20 years ago, we would have never saw something like that on television. So
no,
like
even
it,
Power. Like, it's certain,
yeah,
things,
Power
certain shows
never seen
now.
Something like that 20 years ago, 10 years ago on TV. We would have never saw
it. Well,
that.
We've
so
seen The
seeing,
Sopranos like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
That was like
the
first
Sopranos,
in The Wire.
You know, yeah, that was
like
that was
those shows aired
cutting
over 20 some years ago.
Yeah.
So that was like
wild.
The first, but that was on HBO though.
Yeah, but now we're seeing more of the mainstream.
And HBO is pretty much known for their controversial content.
Look, they did Real Sex back 30 years ago, and that was like, wow. King, you remember when back in the day when Basic Instinct came back and Sharon Stone flashed her beaver, and that was like the biggest shit ever? You know. You know, and speaking of Beaver, that is a perfect segue because you are also, in addition to your illustrious achievements, you made it into Hustler Magazine. Shout out to the late, great Larry Flint, who fought for all of our freedoms of the Second Amendment to be wild and free and freaky. How did that come about?
I'm doing it hardcore since 74.
Let's make some noise for making that come out.
Bonus hug.
Rest in peace, Larry. We love you. We love you, Larry.
Yeah,
yeah.
I wish I was able to meet him. You know, I think he pretty much smiling on my boobies.
Are we all?
No,
oh,
I'm sure he's smiling down upon my boobies. But it's good that they're keeping his legacy alive as well. So that's really dope. You know.
So tell us about how you ended up in Hustler in terms in this course, because you're also in contention for Beaver of the Year. Take us through that process of it, because we're gonna break down more of that as well in terms of, because we got a little ways to go and we might say some controversial shit, but this is off the cuff. We do controversial.
Okay.
and
I was just pretty much messing around, and I was just thinking because I took some really nice pictures with my photographer who took the pictures for Hustler, John Lathrop. Shout out to him from Fit Images, and I was like, let me see if I can get these into either Hustler, Playboy, or Penthouse, one of the big three. So I decided to go with Hustler first. And I Googled it. I was like, you know, Hustler model submissions. And then the editor, he's a freelance editor, Tex Hagen, shout out to him. He actually had his email address to post, you know, to submit to Hustler. So I ended up submitting the photos there and stuff like that. And I waited a while. I was like, if it happens, it happens. If it don't, at least I tried. But like a few weeks later, he contacted me and he was like, you know, I wrote down all the information and stuff like that. So that is what I pretty much did. And I just sent all of my information and I waited and then, waited to hear back from the editors and stuff like that. So I had to get my photographer gave me his info. So me and my photographer, we both filled out the form and we sent it. So we like, let's see what happens. So he contacted me back and he told me, wait a while. And, I ended up getting featured in the June issue. And then the anniversary issue is coming out July 5th. So that is when everybody can vote for me into being Get Your Copy or Vote for Me to be Beaver of the Year, which is a really big deal. And that is something that I'm looking forward to achieving. So that's how it pretty much happened, just pretty much messing around. And I'm like, let's see if this really happened, you know, and it did.
That's about putting the positive energy out in the universe. But, you know, when you put that out there and you expect the best won't come.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You know, one thing about it, you know, because whether Playboy, you know, you got the big three, Penthouse, Playboy, and Hustler magazine, because we're about to get into some hot, we're about to kind of maybe ruffle feathers with some women out there, because we just have to speak on it, not from a malicious perspective, but for just being real. Now, the fact is, obviously, Barbie, you are very awesome in your allure and beauty. And all of your bodacious black woman, you know, wonderfulness. The fact
Thank
is,
you.
You know, a lot of women have to understand that, you know, look, when you get to a Playboy, Hustler, Penthouse, you in the big leagues. I tell any woman, I don't give a damn what color you are. If you get into one of those, you've done something. And a lot of times what a lot of these IG models, some of them, they think because they got, you know, an IG presence or whatever, it's like,
and they have
I'm
a lot of followers.
Yeah, I'm going to make this analogy. Yeah, when you get into those three magazines, you done at the pro level. Like, IG to a degree is high school and maybe somewhat your first semester of college. But it's something that you're
mm-hmm.
only going to have a certain following. But when you get to the magazines, that shows that your reach is beyond a certain demographic. Like, you have become global in your presence. And we're just going to say it, because nobody else will. Some of these chicks out here really be thinking they hot, but they more lukewarm and like a leftover soup.
Yoga.
And they not bubbling like they think that they are.
Yoga.
Yeah,
sleeping with the people on the that work on the gram to get an extra 1,000 followers. We know the game.
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
Some people be buying their followers.
Yeah, what do women have to understand about the process that it takes to really?
80-year-old sugar daddy.
One
foot in the grave, one foot out.
What do women really have to understand about the qualifications in terms of what it really takes and the image you have to project in terms of, I know this is going to ruffle some feathers, but there, how do I word this? Certain magazines have a criteria that is not necessarily race-related, but it is about the image that they want to project, no matter the race of the woman, no matter her color. And a lot of tats and a lot of piercings, you know, that's for some of them, that's not what they do. You know, that's just not how their branding is.
No.
You know, Playboy is the godfather of them all. Rest in peace to the late, great Hugh Hefner. You know, he had the perfect amalgam of sexuality, information, and sophistication in one piece of provocative literature that I don't think has ever really been duplicated. Because I read Playboy as well as for the articles as well, which they had some great ones, you know. But a lot of women aspire to get into those magazines, but what is usually, from what your experiences was, Barbie, what is usually the criteria they look for in terms of, because we know you're not the only woman that applied, but you're one of the chosen few that made it in. What's that process like?
Well, the main criteria into getting in those kind of magazines is pretty much they have a certain, you know, they, at that time, back then, they had a certain look. And it wasn't a race thing. It wasn't none of that. It was just the fact that heavy tattoos or, like, all them piercings and stuff like that, that's something that they wasn't looking for. I'm sorry. It was something, don't get me wrong, like, I'm in, tattoo models have their lane. I have a lot of tattoos, too. But tattoo models have their lane. That's the reason why they have inks and they have suicide girls and stuff like that.
Yeah,
or,
the alternative models.
You know,
yeah.
The tattoo
yeah.
models. But
right.
it was a certain mold that they were looking for. And if you didn't have it, you just didn't. It wasn't nothing personal. It's just like you haven't had a look for them at that time. But maybe they will have an issue. They will have an issue coming out for the women who look like you, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they were.
And,
but honestly, I think a lot of these editorials and a lot of these magazines and stuff like that, they're pretty much trying to break down barriers, you know. Because when I looked at them magazines back in the day, you rarely seen a woman with a tattoo.
Right.
But I'm like, we have a whole generation of tatted up mofos like myself. I'm sorry. Like, I'm not ashamed of my ink. I'm not ashamed of it.
And you shouldn't be.
And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm not about to sit up there and beg, borrow, and steal to have a seat at your table. Because I'm like, my tattoos tell stories. And I think I got some pretty badass tattoos, by the way.
I mean, you know, Barbie, we think about it with Iverson back in the day when they tried to, you know, when he made a cover magazine, they tried to airbrush and they airbrushed his tattoos, you know, and it's like Iverson, of course, broke barriers in the NBA is really embracing the hip-hop culture in a way that the NBA had never seen.
Yeah, they would do that. Is some of them now airbrushing tattoos?
Yeah.
And it's like, no.
And I think one thing we all realize is that there is a place for everybody in terms of, like you said, with the alt magazines or the, you know, there's the mainstream, you know, there's the urban, you know, there's something for everybody. You know, I think that's
yeah,
why,
it's something for everybody.
Yeah, you know, but I think we all know, too, that it's depending on where you're trying to get to. Like, your tattoos are not ostentatious or gaudy in a way that would be off-putting. They're very sophisticatedly laid. Exactly.
That's what tattoos are supposed to be. Supposed to be a statement of a person's life and feeling. People just get tattoos, get pat these days. Like, what would
my
you
point
gain
exactly,
out of
and they tattoos
your
don't
back.
Even make sense. Like with my tattoos. Like,
she's laughing because she just
thought of something. Speaking of Gucci Man, you remember when he put that ice cream cone on his face? I'm like, what was the point of that? I'm actually glad that he's bald. But
that was just goo-wop and goo-wop.
But like,
big Gucci just do what
stories.
He
do. But
yeah,
my tattoos tell stories, you know, of my life
and
certain points in my life that I've been through. Huh?
Right.
I said, I don't get me started on Lil Wayne. His dreads are dying off and his tattoos are smearing.
He needs to go ahead and shave them damn dreads. Bald is, well, honestly, can you really imagine Lil Wayne bald?
No. But he's also...
But I'm like... Like Coolio did the same thing. Sat up there trying to hold on to three little braids that he had. And it's like, bald is in for men. Like, if you losing your hair, you losing your hair. Just let it go.
But it's also
why hold on to three braids?
To drop another Gangsta Paradise so we could get it redone.
Man, look.
Huh?
Look,
he waited to drop another Gangsta Paradise so he could get that bread to get it redone.
It ain't gonna be another Gangsta Paradise.
And Wayne, you know, I tell anybody, boys and girls, this is why you stay off the drugs. We can say that on Off the Cuff because we know Wayne was drinking the lean.
No.
I mean, you know, we respect Wayne for what he did, but we're also like Wayne. You know, we were telling Wayne for years, Wayne, please stay off the lean, off of everything else. You know, but I mean, that's just what happens ultimately. You know, all those years of being wild and taking everything, put it in your system, there are consequences. pretty much in your career, because a lot of girls, unfortunately, do fall into those addictions as well, Barbie, how did you stay away from all of that?
I just pretty much had good role models. I had good role models around me, and I had, you know, a lot of my close friends that, you know, was old school, you know, and they dropped jewels and was like, this isn't what you want, you know, this isn't what you want to get involved in. And I'm like, and I drink and stuff like that, but that just really wasn't part of my lifestyle. It really wasn't. Like, I was focusing on the money. I could care less about all of the other shit. Like, I focused more so on the money.
Yeah. and that's the focus you should always have. You know, I tell any woman, you know, I can appreciate a woman's sexuality, whether she dances, whether she does porn. One of my very best friends in the world was a, you know, I'm not going to say her name on air, obviously, that or a stage, you know, her real name or a stage name. But, you know, in terms of a lot of the, but I will say the studios that she worked for like Elegant Angel, you know, TT Boy, you know, Reality Kings, you know, she did all the big shit. One of my very special friends. And one thing about it is that, and Kings met a lot of dancers, you know, and talked to a lot of chicks along the way. One thing about it is, we don't look at women as objects from the perspective of it's just something to just ogle and object. We don't do that. We understand, like anything, women, no matter the profession of being in the sex industry or the dancing industry, you all are human first, you know, and mm-hmm. you deserve to be treated with respect. And I think that's the element that is missing that is of the utmost imperative, you know. you know, because at the end of the day, if it is illegal, it is not hurting anybody. We can't tell somebody how to live their life, let alone make a living, because at the end of the day, you got to do what's best for you. And if it's something that you know you can monetize in a fashion that is going to benefit you, then yes, you have a right to do it, you know. And I think, but there's also an element that, like I said, a lot of, you know, young girls coming into the game have to understand this game has an expiration date. You know, we talk about this off air, you know, you don't want to be that girl 45 years old still dancing, you know, that's, you know, now if you, you know, if you, yeah, you know, it's something that, like anything, you know, there's ultimately a, it's like an athlete, there's ultimately a point where, you know, as King always jokes, the Larry Holmes status. You know, you don't want to be that guy or girl, you know, past your prime and you're still chasing, like Nas said, your second childhood, you know, because you never grew out of your first one and evolved into a mature adult living out their best years to sing your status of looking back, not with regrets, but with enjoyment about, I had a good life, and there were parts of my chapter that I had, but it was over with, you know, and I'm okay with it. In terms of your burlesque troupe, Barbie, you talked about that. Let's get into that a little bit. How did you make that transition to that?
Well, I transitioned, and I started out as a burlesque kitten, which pretty much, which I still do. Shout out to Bruce City Bombshells. I just did a show with them, just helped them out with a show 3 weeks ago, and it was I had so much fun, and the girls was so nice. They were so nice, like, it was a different element. It was a different, it had class, it had, don't get me wrong, dancing has class too, but I had so much fun, and I can say that I'm looking forward to building friendships with these ladies. And I pretty much, you know, I was like, I got in contact with them and I was like, you know, I want to join your troupe. And they asked me if I wanted to be a kitten, a stage kitten, which helps with their props and stuff like that, at one of their shows. And I said, yeah, that's something I would like to do. And I ended up being the kitten at their show. And now I ended up sending a video of me dancing, and I will be guest performing at the next show, June 24th.
Okay.
So
okay.
I'm looking forward to that.
That's dope. So what are your other interests as well?
Huh?
What are your other interests as well in terms of, like, what do you like to do on your off time when you're just at home relaxing?
What I like to do on my off time, I just pretty much like to basically, I like to create content and stuff like that. And then when I'm not creating content, I pretty much, you know, play video games.
So that's
something I like to do. And I like to cook.
Okay, so you're a gamer.
So
and
when I'm not doing anything else pertaining to the internet or pertaining to, you know, work, like play video games, watch TV and stuff, like watch movies and stuff like that, and I work out a lot.
Okay, okay. Now, you're also a big movie buff, too, as we can tell. What were some of your favorite movies growing up that really are like, you know, really, really you enjoy?
Some of my favorite movies growing up. I have a lot of favorite movies. Friday was one of my favorite movies. Like, I still fucks with Friday. I really couldn't care. I really didn't get off into Friday After Next, but, you know, Friday is definitely one of my favorite movies.
Man, that, God, I remember when that first dropped. It was like, man, I mean, you know, I mean, Cube and DJ
like
Pooh,
whole,
that was.
I feel like that whole movie was freestyle to me. Like somebody just had a camera and just filmed everything that was going on in the hood. Nobody had a script or nothing. They was like,
no,
just
what was going on in the hood? Nobody had a script, just none of that. Like, it was
between Craig and
classic.
Debo were real.
Yeah.
But you know,
no,
y'all.
But
I
have plenty of movies, but I'm like, it'll just take up a whole time. It'll just take up all of our time if I name all of my favorite movies.
Well, we
so
got
it was
time.
Just pretty much.
But one thing about it, too, with Friday, y'all, not only was it a hilarious-ass movie, but when you think about that black star power that was going on in the 90s, I mean, we got, we got New Jack City, we got Friday, we got Fresh, we got Jungle Fever, you know, we got South Central,
yeah.
Boys in the Hood, Menace to Society, Jason's Lyric, Soul Food, Have Plenty, The Best Man, when you look at the elements of black Hollywood,
it was a lot
today,
of black excellence in the 90s.
We
yeah,
keep it
and
brick
like
one thing, because, you know, can we keep it brick for a minute? I got everybody that may want to throw daggers at my back.
Okay.
For this one here.
We won't, but go ahead.
Can we admit right now that Love and Basketball wasn't all that great?
I might have to throw a dagger at you about that, because that's one of my favorite movies. So I might have to throw that dagger at you.
It was a great movie. I think it was something that for the time in the early 2000s, I think that aesthetic of it, you know, it was a story that had never been told the way that it had. And I think from the black
mm-hmm.
romance element of it, I think that's why that movie resonates with so many people.
Scumbag. That's why. He was a scumbag. Like, he straight dunked on Shorty at the end.
Yeah.
He did, didn't he? He didn't have to do it like that.
Like, he straight went hard. No, because I was thinking at first, you know, he's going to be a little character. You know, they had history. That nigga didn't even smile.
Yeah.
He just went straight to bed. He went straight Mamba mentality on her. She had to cry.
He didn't have to do it like that, though.
Man, you're doing it like a prime Kobe. Damn.
Oh.
Man, look, he was like Michael Jordan back in the day. Michael was just ruthless. And then, you know, the Black Cat, you know, and then, of course, Vince Carter, because Vince, probably the greatest, you got the greatest two dunkers in the game. And, I mean, I'm going to just say it. Vince Carter is the greatest in-game dunker I've ever seen do it, hands down.
He had a dunk on it, though, man. He could at least pull the step and just shot a perimeter three or something.
Nah, he was like, he going hard in the paint, and, hey, we just going to catch you up in the court. But, I think that movie. But I think that's what it was. I think the movie just, when you look at that element of Black Hollywood back in the day, y'all, I think it was just something that we saw a lot of. You know, we were living in a time of greatness. Like Friday, it's crazy to think that half of that cast is not even with us anymore. But it's like when you think about it, we were at a time with these movies where it's like it wasn't an issue to get everybody together like they did. I mean, to get the Players Club together. I mean, to get Bernie Mac, to get, you know, Ice Cube, to have, you know, Michael Clark Duncan, rest in peace, to have him do a cameo, Brian Hooks, rest in peace, you know, I mean, you know,
he
to
died.
Have all of them, I mean, yeah, Brian Hooks, yeah, he passed last year.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, he passed last year. Yeah, you know, I mean, of course, Master P, when he did Doubt It, I mean, we were seeing all of these people. It was so authentic because it wasn't I'm going to be real, y'all. I don't know if we could see a black movie today that's going to get that many people in it like that.
No,
you know,
because honestly, when Master P tried to come out with I Got the Hookup Too, nobody at all checked for it.
It won't the same.
It was like, okay, what is this? You know, like, it's that essence of, you know, the hood movies of the 90s that we grew up on, that can never be duplicated.
They're trying to reinvent
the wheel. And like you said before, half of the people isn't even with us anymore.
But
so
it
could never be duplicated.
Yeah. They helped define an era in terms of what I think black excellence was in film. You know, of course, 1992, we got Malcolm X with Denzel. You know, 99, we got Training Day. You know, well, 2001, rather. We got Training Day. We got 2001, we got Training Day. You know, I mean, we're seeing all of these films. I mean, even with Will Smith, you know, in terms of some of the films he did, you know, I mean, you know, you look at everybody, you look at Boomerang in 1992. We saw Chris Rock make his, you know, really get an experience. You know, well, he was in New Jack City, of course, but we saw more of his comedic range extended in Boomerang. You know, we saw Martin Lawrence, you know, really extended in Boomerang for what he did as a co-star in House Party. You know, so we were seeing this element of black excellence evolving before our eyes. And I tell the youngest today, you're never going to see that era again. Because that was the only time that it could happen, because that's when it started opening up for us to really have a place in Hollywood. I mean, it's just like with the videos, you know, in terms of that era. You know, videos used to be really, really a big event back in the day, like seeing your favorite artist premiere something. And now it's like, you know,
I'm glad you brought that up. It used to be a big deal when you start seeing different people in different videos, too.
Yeah, like you saw the guest appearances. It was like dope, man. It was like,
one of my favorite ones.
And then on top of that, like, the videos actually matched the song. Like, honestly, I don't even watch these music videos now because it don't make any sense. It don't make no sense. It's like, it don't even match the song, none of that. Like, I don't even watch the videos now. And honestly, speaking of that, what I want to bring up, like, even the era of the reality TV star. That's on his way out.
Yeah, yeah.
We're in a time period where you have to bring something to the date, and I'm kind of glad that they bringing that back where you actually have to bring something to the table to get fame and fortune out.
I've always
them days
said,
of you being famous for nothing or acting like a punk fool on reality TV,
these.
That can only get you so far. Because honestly,
right.
These reality TV personalities, the industry ain't messing with them.
Right.
That's a dub.
The industry is not checking for them because they're not going to get taken seriously.
Yeah.
Like,
and
let's think about it. Like the Flavor of Love girls, everybody wanted to be them. Like, come, like 13, 14, 15 years later, you can't even find, like, it's almost what, like 17 years later since that show aired, you can't find half them girls.
Where's Hoops? Where's Pumpkin? Where's Smiley?
That's true.
All these girls is ghosts. I can't even find them on the gram.
And you can't find half those girls. So it can only, like, reality TV can only get you so far.
I can't find the white girl Pumpkin.
Yeah, and it's something that I think that's the thing about it that we have to watch, and I think a lot of young people especially on the internet, especially with the videos and everything, because their thing is, and I think that's a dangerous thing. What you're, you know, aspiring to bring back that element of the videos and really bring in a class and a aesthetic of awesome to it. A lot of young kids now, they just want to get out there and just be seen. I mean, whether they toting guns or whatever, and it's like, I mean, it's dangerous because they're portraying an image and also trying to play with something outside of the music that a lot of them don't really understand, or for some of them they understand it and they can't make that separation from it, you know.
Yeah,
like you said, the music is, the videos are not making sense. It's like everybody, like back in the days, videos had a certain choreography. Like when you even look at the old 60s and 70s and 80s soul videos, I mean, even with the hip-hop in the 90s, you know, you had dance routines, you know. Even when you saw hardcore videos like N.W.A.'s Always Into Something or Ice Cube's Steady Mobbin' or Ice-T's Color.
Yeah, it had a story, you know, behind it.
Yeah.
And it matched the video. It matched the song.
Now you got a whole bunch of dudes just jumping around, turning up, and they not doing nothing outside of jumping into each other, you know, and everything
basically.
Else is like, I'm like, all y'all niggas doing the same shit every fucking video. I'm like, none of y'all got no creativity.
Mm-mm.
You know,
they want it for the clout, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but clout, it's the difference. You either want clout or you want money. Which one? Because you can't have both. You can, but you can use your fame as a stepping stone to get some money. But fame doesn't equate money.
Or respect. You know, I think a lot of people have to understand that at the end of the day, it's about how you want to be known for in terms of your, how you want yourself, do you want to be famous or do you want to be infamous? Do you want to be renowned or do you want to be reviled? You know, you want to be popular or do you just want to be a punching bag in terms of people taking shots? Because everybody says, well, you know, I'm getting this attention. I'm like, but yeah, what cost? You know, I'm like, do you really want to be
cost?
That person? I'm like, do you really want to be that person everybody look at in the social media and be like, well, what did such and such do today that was stupid? You know,
mm-hmm.
Not to sound a soapbox. I'm like, yo, if you got a platform, be positive. You know, if you want to be funny, be funny, but be funny in a way that really makes everybody feel good. Don't do stuff, because after a while, the things that you do are going to resonate in a capacity of it is not – it's not authentic. It's attention-seeking and self-destructive, you know. And we, especially in the black community, have seen too much of that, where we've seen people trying to get out there in a way of what they perceive as celebrity, but they've ended up having a crash landing, you know, as they say, you know, for the clout. And it's like, is this really how you want to be known? I mean, look at what happened with Boom Gang.
Boo Gang played too many tricks, games with somebody until somebody punched him in his shit. And Boo Gang realized he doesn't want a game no more. You know, he stopped doing all that foolishness online, you know. I mean, but that's a story for another day about the psychology of celebrity and how some people are mesmerized by the elements, the allure of what they perceive as fame. That's not for us to judge, but we just tell people, if you're going to get out there publicly, make a good name for yourself and not a bad one.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's the message right there. So, yeah, we're about to wrap this up shortly. Any shout-outs you want to give out? You can just go ahead and give out your social media handles, all that.
Follow me on Instagram at Miss Barbie Monroe. Follow me on Twitter at Miss Monroe, at Monroe with Love. And also subscribe to my OnlyFans at Miss Monroe Uncensored.
Hey. Hey, that's what
so
it is.
Thank you so much. Thank you guys for having me. I had a lot of fun.
We appreciate you. You know, you're welcome back anytime, and we thank you. You know, we'll be supporting you every step of the way. In terms of your magazine, you said it's out now, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It is that I'm featured in. It is out. It's the June 2022 issue. And then also it's going to be an anniversary issue that's coming out in July. That's where people can cast their votes and vote for me to be in the running of Miss Beaver Hunt 2022.
Okay, so we need to
get
that.
Hustler Beaver of the Year. No, I'm coming for that crown.
Definitely.
All I need is people to support.
YG bodies better look out, man. It's, y'all time is up. Y'all running it on moral time, right?
Mm-hmm. And follow me on Instagram.
Definitely.
On that note, we up out of here. Check us out Friday night. Same time, same channel. Holla back.
Yeah, we out.
Thank you for having me. Have a good night.
You too. Thank you again.
Okay.
All righty.